Hello.
Hey there.
What's up?
Welcome to episode 175, Come Get Your Podcast. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm Dustin.
I'm Chris.
How we doing, boys?
Solid, man. Solid. I'm full of a mushroom Swiss burger. So.
Make it yourself?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I've been.
Nice.
Like, I don't know if I think I mentioned this before. I'm on like a HelloFresh thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was on there. You know, that's one of the meals.
I had the same meal because we also are getting HelloFresh.
Burgers
were good.
Future sponsor. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. You know what?
Same
yeah.
Mushroom Swiss burger, too, dude.
Home Chef, kick rocks.
I'm in the market for a new one, maybe, if it's sponsored.
But yeah, it was good.
Good burger, right?
Yeah, man. Good burger. Good mushrooms.
Sounds good.
Good potatoes. Mm-hmm. A honey mustard sauce on it. I've never tried that. I've never had that on a mushroom Swiss burger before. It's okay, you know.
I could see that working.
Well, you mixed it with other stuff.
Well, it's like honey mustard, like a honey Dijon, sour
Dijon.
Cream.
Okay. There we go.
You
okay,
know?
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah,
like
it that, wasn't just so. A.
Yeah. I don't know what else to call it. It was like a honey mustard kind of sauce. I don't know.
There was like sauce. There was like stock. Beef stock or whatever
was. Oh
it?
Yeah, mine was mushroom stock, but I didn't put that on the
or
sauce.
Or mushroom stock is what it was.
That was in the,
I did
in the Boyger and in the. I followed that recipe to a T.
Yep. So there's a bit more to it, but yeah, it was like a sweeter,
sweet savory.
Yeah, sauce on with the mushrooms that went on top of the burger. It was good.
I mean, it sounds delicious.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. For your future sponsorship.
Thanks,
guys. And if we have any friends that want a box, I have like 13 of those free box codes. So
I have a bunch of fun ones for Home Chef. But we had to cut back on that because student loans are going to be starting to be paid very soon.
I found that cost-wise, it's perfect for me. Because I get like, you know, you guys have two people in the house, so each meal is... Mm-hmm. Like
it's still,
one meal.
It's still pretty comparable.
Yeah. For me, that's one meal and leftovers the next day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Know? So for me, it's like, I think I spend less, actually.
I think you would if you have leftovers. I mean, enough times out of your week, your box or whatever. Yeah, that's good for itself.
Yeah, I get three meals. So that's six meals. The only thing I have to really, you know, one day, you know, I won't have a meal, but like that'll typically be like, okay, I'll order out or whatever. That's fine. So it works out.
Definitely. Yeah. No, that's saving money.
And I get like the deal where I get like a free item for life. And I normally get these like sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast burritos that are pretty decent. Like it's not like an amazing like awakening or anything, but it's like it's good, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a good time.
In this economy, you gotta do what you gotta do.
And tonight's a pork schnitzel.
Tonight's leftovers for us, I think. Dude, okay, here, check this shit out. I ordered, we were watching one of my nieces on Thursday, and she spent the night, so I was like, let's do pizza, you know. And my niece is 11, so it's like, what do you like? Just cheese. Sure, no problem. I ordered from Domino's. I got a small cheese pizza and a large, granted, it had like five toppings on it, but like, you know, large five topping and small cheese with a 20% off coupon for the total amount. Yeah. After tip, $42.
That's expensive.
For two fucking pizzas and one of them's a small? Get the fuck out of here.
For Domino's?
For Domino's.
Yeah.
And like you know,
delivery fee.
It's not like something I would do. All it was $6, $5.99. And
Jesus,
I'm gonna tip 20% for the driver, so that was like $7.
Yeah,
like get the fuck out of here.
Last time I ordered Domino's was a few months ago, and like they have something I guess called delivery insurance, and they're like, "Oops, we messed up. Have a free pizza," and I'm like.
That's why I got the same thing because they were late.
What did you mess up on? Like what?
It took them like 30 minutes for them to like from when the tracker was like prepping your pizza to actually like baking it. It took 30 minutes, and I wasn't going to complain because like we had stuff going on, and, like we weren't starving. So like I was just like, it'll get here when it gets here, and it got here at the right time for us to be hungry. So like nobody was complaining. I just saw it took longer, and I was like, figured something must have happened. And they got a, and I got a coupon. I was like, sorry, we messed up. Here's a free medium pizza or two topping or whatever. And I was like, no. Like, you guys are so expensive. Yeah. Absolutely not.
Yeah, because probably even with that, with the fee and everything, it's just going to cost the same as...
Like, I'd go into the store to pick it up then at that point.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Well, if you think about it, you got it for $42. It's included in that whole deal.
Yeah, free pizza. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That is true.
You got that third za. That medium za.
I did get a third za.
There you go.
For $42. And a medium. So I had a small, a medium, and a large. And the large had five toppings. So, you know, I get it. Stuff adds up.
Medium, I think that's probably where they got you. All those toppings.
That's definitely where it was. But I mean, but like, no, still no. For two fucking pizzas, $42? Fuck out of here. In this economy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, like, oh, dude, everything's so expensive.
That's, like, after, is like, because Misty, my wife, is graduating from college.
Huzzah!
Technically, her last day is Tuesday, technically, this coming Tuesday. She'll be done with all her classes, so she just has to wait for grades to come in. So, but she's going to graduate.
That's exciting.
Right? Get her, finish her bachelor's off, and then it's like, all right, so I'm going to have to start having student loan payments come in, and so she's like, we need to, like, sit down and figure out what we can cut. And there's a lot of stuff we could cut and have.
Oh, probably. Sure. Yeah, easily.
And still have a lot and be fine, but it's just like, man. So, like, one of the things is we're going to start going grocery shopping, just switch off whose turn it is to go during the week. And then, so I was like cutting back on delivery for Home Chef, some other things. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, we obviously will still eat out every so often, but like, man, ordering from Domino's after that. And I'm assuming it's just as bad at every other like pizza chain type place.
I bet.
Like fuck it. No, I don't need pizza that badly in my life.
But then yeah, and even if you decide like, yeah, we're going to do that. It's, I guess, I mean, like, my dad already does this, you know, I think, you know, if he's listening, I think it's just because he wants to get out of the house, but he goes and picks it up, you know, and he's always done that. Like, rarely do they get delivery, like, it's sent to the house, so.
We stopped doing DoorDash, too.
Yeah, that's because, crazy expensive.
Because we could split, we could share DoorDash premium between the two of us, and so, like, and honestly, like, you know, 3 years ago, it was a good deal and everything. So Misty, this was like 3 weeks ago, I think. She was like wanting blizzards. I'm like, was going to order through DoorDash. I'm like, just fucking go. It's 3 minutes from our house.
Yeah, just go get it.
She's like, yeah, you're right. So she went and it came out to like, she got three blizzards. So it was like $17, which is, you know, expensive. But like the large ones are expensive. Yeah,
a little more.
It's a treat. It's not like an all the time thing. And it's $17 and it's, she saved half. Like it was,
yeah, I was about to say do for the
delivery
math
would be another $17 after tip and everything.
Yeah. Do so the like, math on that DoorDash delivery. I'm sure. Yeah. It's just as expensive.
We looked it up. Yeah. Cause yeah, I wonder how more expensive it would be. It was literally half of expensive just to drive there.
Yeah. I only have DoorDash still because my work pays. It's like part of the package. Like,
and then you actually should use it.
Yeah, it's like it's. Yeah. I get the premium free. We also get a monthly stipend for a free meal.
Okay,
you know, nice. So it's like okay, like I'll do that. Like okay, you know, I'll get some teriyaki express. Hell yeah, send it. Send it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's so expensive,
dude.
It's. I remember one time, I think it was a couple months ago when I was like sick. And I didn't have, like, any medicine here. And I'm like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't feel well. And I had, like, Alka-Seltzer and all this stuff delivered. And it was just like, fuck, why? This pain. I don't even remember how much it was, but I remember being like, never again. I will do this. I will just.
I'll get out of the house.
I will just own it up and suck it up and go.
Mask up.
And go to Walgreens. Store.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't have like a Walgreens like close to me though.
So you really
like,
don't. You really
it's,
don't.
It's far. Every Walgreens or CVS is far.
I can. Me. There's one that the closest one to you is still at least 6 to 8 minutes away. I think. Yep.
Yeah. Maybe soon. I don't know.
They're still kind
of
close.
There's a lot of stuff that they're building over here. Like they're opening up a rainbow cone.
I saw that
down the road and something else. I forget
what. I drive by the entrance to your neighborhood a lot.
You just wave next time.
Every time I'm out that way is because I have an appointment with one of my clients. So like I can't just swing by, unfortunately.
No, that's okay. I don't like the random swing bys.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just swing by. I'd be like, hey, man, I'm in your area. you cool? But obviously I can't do that.
Yeah, let me put my pants on.
Working. Yeah.
Maybe presentable.
But I do drive by your neighborhood quite often now.
Well, with it being spring coming up, finally, you know, it's almost May, for Christ's sakes. But I will be presentable more often probably because I like to sit outside.
Yeah, dude.
Like yesterday.
Oh, I bet if it was as nice here as it was in Madison.
It was
we're supposed to have very similar weather this weekend.
I think it was perfect here.
It was beautiful out.
Yeah, I think it was perfect.
It was really nice out up there.
75, a little breezy.
Yeah, sunny. You
know, sunny. Oh, good day.
It was a little humid up in Madison.
I don't know how it was here. Is that because of the lake, probably? Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. I mean, and it was raining the night before. So, I mean, you know, then it warmed up.
Then it warmed up.
By 15 degrees or so. We were walking. That's why we really noticed the humidity. If we were just hanging out outside and when, like, the breeze would roll through, it was perfect. But we walked, like, 4 blocks to a Quick Trip to grab coffee and some donuts and stuff for breakfast. Walk back, and there was an uphill climb section, and it was that's when we're like, oh, it's humid.
Worked that donut off though.
Absolutely did.
Oh man, I finished a craving yesterday. I've been craving for weeks, but a Casey's breakfast pizza.
Really? Which one?
Breakfast. I just got like a bacon, like just a regular bacon one.
Just the bacon.
Next time I get it, I'm definitely going to opt out for the sausage gravy sauce instead.
Oh, I've heard that's I've done that once. That was good. Honestly, their veggie breakfast pizza is also really good.
Probably. Daddy likes his bacon, though, so.
I know. I listen, I get it.
I think I've only had the bacon one as well, or the sausage, one of the two.
Yeah, but I was
never tried the veggie one, though, but I mean, I'm assuming there's onions on it.
Really
diced
up, though.
That's probably why.
And it's in like a cheese sauce. I mean, like it's more flavor than like crunch.
Is it the crunch for you, Dustin, or is it just the overall flavor?
It can be both.
Yeah.
Predominantly, it's that crunch, but like generally, that crunch is followed by a pretty nasty bitter.
Yeah.
They're cooked onions, kind of.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like raw onions and things. Never have. Even now, and my palate has been broadened over the years.
Somewhat refined.
Like my brother-in-law recently, just before he actually left for Germany, cooked for everybody when we went over to my parents' house, and he made this like
bratwurst.
He made this like French onion soup with like 5 different kinds of onions in it. Like it was delicious. Like I ate multiple bowls of it, and I don't even care for onions, but it was like a sweet with like the cheese in it. Dude, it was perfect. It was fantastic. So I think, like, to your point, like, as long as it's done well or a certain way,
there are certain applications where you're fine.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's not like I just say like noted all onions.
Right? Yeah, like I don't mind onions, but like if I see a pizza as an example and I see like cut onions on top of it, I'm like, no, thank you.
I'm with you.
You know, but like if it's a burger with grilled onions or a steak with sauteed onions, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. So I get that.
One of the last things we made from Home Chef before we stopped it was like a baked French onion casserole type thing that was really good. Had like penne in it and then everything. It was like a pasta casserole-y French onion dip. It was so good.
Well, the nice thing about those meals too is that like now even though you like stop the service,
you still have
the recipe, right? Exactly. Yeah, you can just make it.
Even digitally.
So... that's what I like about that stuff. Even if you do the service just for a little bit, just like compile a bunch of recipe,
just
little
get
cards.
A month's worth of cards.
I gave a friend a free box a couple months ago, and she's literally like, "Yeah, I just make." There's one recipe it came with, and now I just make that every week.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
yeah, man,
it's good.
Yeah,
I have a it's a butternut squash and candied walnut risotto that I have the recipe for that is top
that you kept. Oh yeah, that sounds fantastic.
They've been some like HelloFresh, what's up? Like, seriously, I speak highly of this thing because like I've tried Home Chef before, obviously, you know, before, and it was good, but like I never stuck with it. And maybe it's because where I used to live, the kitchen was non-existent, basically.
Right.
maybe.
Which I drive by that house a lot too.
Oh man.
With my
well, my sister's right next door there, so.
I'm out there a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't know, HelloFresh, I feel just like it's not too fancy and the ingredients are just like, it's like perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. Except when I don't have something that's like, you need to have sugar. I don't fucking use sugar ever. I like, that's so now one, I have sugar here.
That was the one nice thing about Home Chef is they send you everything you need.
Yeah.
I don't have to do extra. I mean, like, sugar is normally a staple in most places, so, like...
I get it.
I understand why you wouldn't have it, so, yeah. Like, you know, like...
I live in a baking household. Yeah, there's sugar here.
Yeah, because you want brown sugar.
And all-purpose flour. Oh, yeah, there's multiple bags of brown sugar.
Baking soda, powder.
Yep. It's all here, man.
I was also... I mean, this isn't specifically to where I was at this weekend. I had visited some friends up in Madison who, back in September, had their first child, and I hadn't met it yet. So we were like, it's time. We love this couple anyway, because I've known them for both, I think, for at least minimum 20 years now. One for sure, and it's either 19 or 20 for his wife.
Got to meet the next generation.
Yeah, and she's adorable, like Gerber baby status. But they had gone to Costco to like stock up on snacks and some breakfasty stuff for the weekend. And have you ever had Costco muffins? Like they have like a
oh yeah,
cinnamon coffee cake muffin.
I bet they're amazing.
It's almost like
oh
cake.
My god,
those it's are like, dense. Well, there's man. That, they're good. Though.
There's that Costco. My parents always get their tuxedo cake.
Okay.
Oh my god!
I've but heard these are of like that. Muffins. I've never had it.
These are like those. Yeah, these are like big muffins too, right?
Yeah, no, like you cut it in half ones? And that's plenty.
Yep. No, these are big.
No. This is like a size of a softball.
Yeah, dude. Katie and I'll share one.
Yeah, like and Misty and I would split. Like, oh my god, those are.
Yeah.
They also have like a chocolate chunk one that was also delicious.
Yep.
I would always. Well, I should say always. Often, I would get at the gas station like those like. Otis, Sprunkenmeyer, whatever, like double chocolate ones.
Those are good. Yeah, this is.
You only half one, Dustin, you coward.
Bro. The next time Katie and I go to Costco, I'll get some, and then like we'll get together. I'll bring some over, and you'll see, man. These are. Damn, dude. But they're so dense, too. Like you'd think that they might be somewhat lighter, but no, they're good. They're not dense in a bad way, but it's
exactly
like more,
that's what I was gonna
it's
say.
It's more cakey than muffin.
Like, half will do ya.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I keep it away from me. I'll be honest.
Yeah, dude.
I take your word for it.
Yeah. I'm not even sure.
No, this like, is definitely something you need. Yeah.
It's like I need like a glass of milk. It's almost like it's just too much if I try to eat more than a half. But they're very good.
I had it with a Quick Trip coffee, so it was really delicious.
Perfect.
Oh man.
They also really get really good croissants.
Yeah, we had for lunch yesterday. It was their croissant and their chicken salad.
Oh, I haven't tried the chicken salad.
I had not had that before either, and holy shit, that is pretty good.
Yeah, man.
People sleep on these like bakeries and delis in grocery stores. I feel maybe not everywhere, obviously, but I don't know. If I feel like something's like made at the store, it's like I have like a negative, like oh, it's probably not that good. But in reality,
usually
it's like
it is,
pretty
yeah.
good. Like
usually, it's not bad.
Meijer has really good pre-made like mustard potato salad.
Yes, they do.
Because I'll tell you,
have you had their deviled egg potato salad?
No, but I'll fucking eat that for sure.
Yeah, you want to try that next time.
You know, rest in peace locally, because it's never been the same, even with it being a Schnucks or whatever it is.
Yeah, their food court was really good.
But locally on, especially on State Street, had like that gourmet potato salad.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was when I worked at Best Buy by there, I would literally just go and get a container of that for lunch.
I get fuck, man. I mean, it was good. It was that good.
It was so good.
Oof. Yeah, my sister has a Costco membership, so I with that, I'm like, I might be having to hang out with you more often. I'm so sorry, and you too.
Hey, man, at some just let Katie and I know. Like, we also got one here. Oh, yeah. All right. So that's because I was gonna say, like,
I know Josh does too.
Dude, going into Costco, like, I can tell you right now, in Costco, people don't skimp on the bakery section because it's big,
picked over.
It doesn't feel picked over. It's But there's a lot to choose from because it's like, no, people definitely go over there.
Well, next time you go there, go get their tuxedo cake. Okay. My parents buy it for the past couple of years, like every holiday, like they'll buy it as a dessert, and it's just so good. It's very small slice. Trust me, probably the same as the muffin.
Yeah, right.
you don't need a big helping of that thing because
this will do you.
And you might need a glass of milk as well. But yeah. I just ate. Why are we talking about food? Fuck.
I don't know. We can stop shilling for a gigantic corporate company, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Well, as far as gigantic corporations go.
Right.
I kind of,
They're usually cool. above par.
They ain't raising a hot dog and drink price ever, you know, so bully exactly. to them.
Yeah, exactly. So when we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, this is going to be a very, very Fallout centric episode, because the show has been out. We've all finished it. We're not going to spoil it. And then the Fallout 4 PS5 update also came out this past week.
Yeah.
And we've all played at least a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you guys like to start with?
I mean, let's start with the show.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, spoiler free, obviously. But
nothing major.
Nothing major.
Nailed it. The atmosphere, the characters, the very, like, there's, you can't, they have, like, Fallout 4 is the first Fallout game, I believe, that had, like, anything referencing, like, you, like, pre the war, the bombs going off. And I understand why, but a show can do those flashbacks,
yeah,
without that a game can't do.
There's
and it does it so well.
One DLC for 3, I think, that was all pre-war. It was, I think,
Operation
involved
Anchorage.
Battle of Anchorage, exactly. So that kind of started everything. But other than that, yeah, like, there's not much.
And 4, and we're going to talk about the show first, but like 4, you start the game.
Pre-war.
Yeah. And it's only for like 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And, well, it's
character creation.
You basically live out the, I don't feel like it's a spoiler, the start of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if you followed this franchise for, you know, even a few years, you definitely would enjoy the show. It, because Chris got it right. Like, it nails that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, when it's a certain times in the show too, especially, like, it's usually towards the end of the credits, typically, is where it'll also like play like the ink spots or any of the music from that's been popularized from the Fallout games, you know, that are from the 40s and 50s. And it just hits it so well. Like, the ending credit song, or the, like, from the last episode, is We Three by the Ink Spots, and it was so perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so perfect when that song hit. Ugh. Gosh. And Walton Goggins. I have loved that guy since when I first saw him in Justified many years ago.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. I was like, this dude is great. And ever since then, like, seeing him, especially in the last couple years, really, like, jump into, you know, specific roles. Like, I don't know if you guys watch Vice Principals, Righteous Gemstones for sure.
He's the American Gary Oldman, kind of.
That's very well put. Yeah. He could do anything. Literally anything.
and whatever the role is, like, he owns it.
Yeah. I think we've talked about him being in, I always forget the Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah, because he's Venus. He plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, yeah, as somebody who hasn't played nearly as much Fallout as you guys have, like, I can tell that, like, the best reference I have for it is Fallout 76 and Fallout 4, because I played, I don't know, maybe an hour of New Vegas on an Xbox once, but, like, never got into it. I've never played Fallout 3. Like, the whole vibe of the show, like, was there anything about the show that was, like, oh, that's interesting. They're going a different way with that, obviously without major spoilers.
It's hard without going spoilers.
Okay.
There's one huge one that would be spoilery. And it's not so much like they're going in a different direction. It's like, I don't know what direction they're going to go, because it has, okay. You know, that's for season two.
Sure. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. The thing with Fallout and the universe is that, and this is something I was even talking to my friend Gary about, because he's never played a Fallout game. You know, open world games are not his jam. and it's just, there's so many different factions in the universe. Mm-hmm. And because of the world being in the state that it's in, just think about, like, how news can travel from one side of the states to the other. One of the major things people were asking and seeing, and this is not, it's not a spoiler, it's like, where's the NCR at, really? You know, mm-hmm. They are massive in New Vegas. They're massive in, I believe, Fallout 2. I think they're known in Fallout 1, but not like
as two is big. Two is their first big.
Yeah.
Step in.
Who's the NCR?
New California Republic.
Yeah. Okay.
They're gonna be, you know, whenever season two comes out, because we are getting to season two. They're gonna be.
Yeah, it was like.
I think they're gonna be in season two a lot.
Okay.
It was like a week after the show like came out. It was like, yep, season two is greenlit. I'm like, yes, let's go. So
Fallout 3 took place in California.
No.
Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, Capital Wasteland. And that's the first, because the first two games, main entries. So there's Fallout 1, Fallout 2, Fallout Tactics, and technically Tactics is canon.
It is.
They made a Brotherhood, they made a game called Fallout Brotherhood of Steel, but that's not canon. They've even stated it's not canon, but those were all in California. Well, Tactics was Chicago, actually, I think.
Yes, it was.
Okay, but the early Fallout games were in California.
All in California. And Fallout. All in the same area, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Because New Vegas is obviously in Vegas, right?
Yeah, you in that area. Some of the DLCs, you're in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Mojave Desert.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, in Fallout 4, you're in Boston.
Boston, right? Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, so I was just wondering,
all over the place, kind of on the East Coast, though.
But in the show took place in California.
In Los Angeles, yeah.
Partially.
Partially.
Yes. Mostly, even.
Yeah. Right.
It's hard to know exactly where at. It's just like, when she came out of the vault, it was in Los Angeles.
I couldn't tell when she came out of the vault if it was going to be Los Angeles or Seattle.
Yeah.
Because of that pier Ferris wheel dealio.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, I got GTA, just Los Santos vibes.
I figured it was going to be, it was LA, but then like, I was like, well, in Last of Us Part 2, Seattle, like
there's
very similar looking area.
Because it was
such a pulled back wide shot, I couldn't exactly tell.
Sure.
But as stuff went on, it's like, okay, that's obviously LA. Like in the first episode, it's like, okay, that's LA.
Right.
Yeah. There's just so much that in the show they did incredibly well. The very naive outlook that she has as a main character, as being someone who's only grown up in a vault. Yeah, exactly. Like, who's only been in the vault, and it's all that they know and what they've been fed as the right thing, which is on fucking point for the games.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Yeah, okie dokie. Okay. I mean, such a great cast. Great memes coming from it for sure as well. They had like the character Norm, who is like, I seen the meme recently where it was like, this character only cares about the main quest. They don't care about side objectives, by the way. So, yeah.
Didn't Bethesda, I could talk forever and about it. Bethesda and the showrunners released the stats for the three main characters too? Mm-hmm. What their special stats are.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're out there somewhere.
What their breakdown is.
Yep. And it makes sense because, you know, of course it does. But really, like, Jonathan Nolan.
Dude, well done.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, he nailed Westworld season one.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just him, you know, obviously it's a huge like bunch of people, but I don't know their names and I can look it up, but the showrunners are huge fans of it. And I have to give kudos also to Bethesda because like they're so careful of the IP and the story that if you haven't already and you've watched the show, go watch on YouTube and watch some like interviews after the show where they talk about, there's one with IGN, I think with Jonathan Nolan and Todd Howard. And it's, they really go into detail on some things, which is really nice. And one of the main things that I like is basically they're like, yes, New Vegas exists, by the way, as the game, just because it was made by Obsidian. we do care about it.
It's still canon.
Like
it still counts.
Cause like there's that discourse with fanboys that are like, no, Bethesda hates New Vegas because it's the only good one. It's popular. And it's like, shut up. Anyway.
Even the first two games, which are canon, were not made by Bethesda. They didn't get it until three. I forget who made the first two. Is it
Interplay?
Interplay. That's right. And maybe Black Isle Studios.
I think so, yeah. And
then, I think they might have worked on some of the expansions.
Yeah, and that kind of came full circle because Black Isle Studios became Obsidian and Obsidian made New Vegas. Yeah. So it's kind of funny how that just came full circle.
I mean, Obsidian gets, especially at that time period, Obsidian is like, okay, here's, you get New Vegas, like different company did three. It was really good. And so you're making like a unofficial sequel and it's better. And then the same thing happened with Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
BioWare did one. All right, Obsidian, you get two and you get a very short turnaround time again. Good luck. And they did a very good job with it. So, I mean, it is, other than them being very, how we said it with The Last of Us television series, like, it was clear that everyone, pretty much top to bottom, cared about what they were doing and how it was presented and shown to a viewer. Mm-hmm. It seems like, the recipe for success, because this is definitely, like, you can just tell how much they actually care. All the performances are fantastic. A lot of really good cinematography, too.
The level of detail they have in so many things pieces. Is crazy.
Yes.
It's so like there's stuff I didn't even notice that people called out and I was like, oh my god, right.
I have maybe a issue here or there with some things, but like it's just being nitpicky. It's just overall it's solid top to bottom.
Yeah, somebody was talking about like how violent. It's like, wow, it's really bloody, really violent. I'm like, yeah, it's
Dustin
all out.
Said it was, the first episode was very violent, which it is.
Yeah, no. So like, I was talking to Kitty about that, and it was, and maybe it's just because like obviously I haven't played nearly as much Fallout, but like it was really once I got done with the show, it was really the first episode that I felt that there was one specific moment that felt egregious in a way. Where it just felt like the showrunners were saying, like, look at the gore we got for you. And it's like, okay, I get it. And then there's other elements in the show where it happens and it just feels natural. And, you know, somebody gets a little too close to power armor. It felt appropriate for the moment. You know what I mean? So, like, it was just a weird one time it caught me where I was like, yeah, that was odd. Like, but the rest of it felt perfectly fine and natural.
And if you play the other games more, even that first episode, you're like, yeah, that's on brand.
That would feel about right.
It's on brand.
Okay. There was no part of it. I was like, oh, that's too much. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and I figured that too, where I was like, well, I haven't played nearly as much. So maybe it's just me.
The part where I was just like, well, that's not, I don't think that's really Fallout to use. when I don't even want to say it because it's probably a spoiler.
How to say it without?
How do I'm trying to think of how to say it without?
Talk to us after if you need to.
There's, you know, he's in a bathrobe and that conversation they have. Yeah, that to me, I was like, huh?
I it was okay.
It was funny, but I was just like, all right.
You're okay.
And I think we said this before, possibly, I can't remember, but like the only part where I'm just like, huh, on is just Maximus's character.
And it's is it the actor?
I don't know if it's how he's how acting he did it or just that's how his character is. And it's just like, we don't know how he's going to be yet.
Part of me thinks it's that.
I was going to say, as I chalked it up to that, to the latter, because like I heard what you guys were saying, cause you were farther into it and I was watching it. I didn't get the same sense of like, well, those are interesting acting choices. I kept getting the sense of like, that's just an interesting choice for the character overall, where I'm thinking he's being directed to do that. Yeah. But you're right, where it's like by the end of the show, the other two characters well beforehand, you felt were full, like you're still learning stuff about them, but you feel like they're more, I don't know, well-adjusted characters. Yeah. For whatever reason, where it's like Maximus is, you're like, yeah, you're like getting into the latter half of the season and you're like, bro, I can't get a finger on the pulse of you.
I still don't by the end of it. I'm like, what is your motive on everything?
I do feel like that is on purpose.
I do too.
Right.
Somebody had said that if you take Maximus as if you made this the video game and Maximus was the character you play as, it's kind of like the choice, like his mindset on how he perceives things is just like, I kind of get that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But again, was it last episode, two episodes ago, you had mentioned that. And like, I had gotten further into the show after we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And like, the further I got on the show, the more I was like, I see where you're coming from here. Like,
Yeah.
But I do agree that I think that is the direction they're going, because we just don't, obviously the first season, and you don't know where he's going to be. You don't know his motives. You know a little bit of his history, but not a ton.
It's still sketchy.
I would think that in season two, we would see a little bit more of the Brotherhood.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the Brotherhood of Steel in a nutshell, is that we don't know what Brotherhood we're seeing necessarily altogether, because there's West Coast Brotherhood and then there's East Coast Brotherhood.
I was going to ask that because, like, again, not playing as much, it was like, I didn't get that sense that the Brotherhood was necessarily like that in the bit that I saw out of Fallout 4, but I never played any of the previous games. So I have no idea.
I can't speak on the Brotherhood for the first few games. I never really played them, but Fallout 3's Brotherhood is more for the people.
Okay.
And trying to be there for the people, while you see in Fallout 4 and even in the show that they're more like, we're trying to prevent people from gathering technology to basically end the world again. We're trying to rebuild the world and we need to take over the technology.
They need pre-war technology to do it.
Yeah.
And they need to keep it out of everyone else's hands.
Okay. Yeah. But their ideals are religious-y. Yeah, it's yeah, exactly. Like it's that's the thing, we don't know. Like there's just
I wanted to see more about the Enclave, and this first season we didn't get a ton of it. Did get some things, but like they're extremely interesting too.
Yeah,
and the Enclave was not in Fallout 4, correct?
They are now.
They are now.
They are now,
which we can get to.
It's like a quest. So they were like the big bad in 3 essentially, but anything could be the big bad in 3 depending on your how.
A lot of different things, until a specific DLC came out for 3. There was even less options, and then they added a different one with the DLC. They basically Mass Effect 3'd it.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, by the end of 3, which I'm not going to totally spoil, but like it's old enough where I feel like basically you have a choice to make at the end of 3, on who's going to die, basically, which is not, it shouldn't be a huge surprise to anybody because that's most of these games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was one character who you couldn't choose.
Who couldn't die in this scenario.
But given what is happening at the end of the game, you would definitely choose this person because it just makes the most logical sense. And until a DLC came out, that was not an option.
Yeah.
Right. It was basically a Captain Kirk Spock moment, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Forced upon you.
Yeah.
Also, there's one YouTuber who I follow. His name's Super Rad. He has a couple videos, like retrospective video essays. One's on Fallout 3, one's on New Vegas. They have it, so it's like broken down, but like there's also just like a big compilation of everything. And they're like, the Fallout 3 one's 5 hours long, and the New Vegas one's 7 hours long. Both very worth it.
Yes.
If it's something you want to know more about, he's Super Rad does a extremely good job of like laying stuff out, explaining things. And I, at least from my perspective, I think he gets into meanings, you know, of like, what is the overall, this faction represent, mm-hmm. for like, you know, real world stuff like capitalism or,
oh,
you know,
sure.
Okay. Like, yeah, all that stuff. He does a very good job.
Relates
introspective
it back.
Job of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely go check out that. There's also one on KOTOR 1 and 2 that are also amazing. This is stuff like I put on to fall asleep to.
No, there's been a lot of the stuff recently, the past couple weeks, have been me falling asleep to Fallout stuff, like 100%. Yeah. It's just, there's just so many unknowns because of how diverse the Fallout universe is. Like I said before, it's, you know, we see this Brotherhood of Steel. Who's this other Brotherhood is pretend, is it the same Brotherhood of Steel that we see, you know, throughout, like, there's a lot of question marks there, you know, of who's who and what, and, you know, what are they, you know, who are the characters going to align with in the end, and, you know, there's just a lot. And yeah, the Enclave is in two, they were the big bad in two. I think they were maybe mentioned in one, I can't remember, but
in four they were only mentioned until very recently.
Yeah. I think even in New Vegas, they might have been mentioned. They were not a big presence in there, but New Vegas had a lot of their own factions.
New Vegas has like a zillion different factions. Yeah.
But it's so cool just to see everything represented. And it's not a secret if you're a Fallout fan or even if you watch a show, it's not really a spoiler, I think. But Vault-Tec's just garbage.
Yeah.
So. And then diving into that and other, you know, these companies, you know, that are these big corporations in the Fallout universe, Robco, WesTech, Repcon, like there's so many.
That
you're
was super
like,
cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this makes this makes sense.
Yeah, this checks out. This checks out. You know, and then like just anything, you know. It was just fucking Fallout, man.
You mean a company that profits on the end of the world might not be on the up and up?
No. Maybe not.
No, come on now.
Yep.
The reveals in the last two
Correct.
Episodes were also just like, awesome. like it's part of it makes sense, and part of it's like, oh, when you start thinking about it, like the logistics of some of the things that get revealed to you in the last episode, you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah,
and is some of that stuff, again, speaking broadly, that is new to the universe, correct? Or has some of this stuff been alluded to in other games
not
in the past?
Not to that level, I believe.
Right. Hinted at, but not
It was
like,
basically something
leaned
like
into?
You could, if you thought about it, you could definitely get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you
have
could,
it make
you
sense.
You could connect the dots. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense why they would have done that. And that's still not even...
And
like,
it's good for TV, right?
Yeah, and it's still not TV. Even confirmed
yeah.
what they said they wanted to do happened.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
So it's...
I have a feeling we're still going to see more. I would have feel like the second season is going to be more of the same flashback-y.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe not nearly as much, but I would hope that it's like...
I don't I don't think they did it.
Well, I guess maybe not.
I don't think they did it a lot. I thought they did it like such a perfect amount because that's what I mean. That's what I was alluding to at the beginning. Is it's like the show. There's so much for me at least that about the universe of Fallout before the games where it's like what happened. Right. Like in the games, you see logs, you see computers, you can get like a general idea where you're like, wow, these companies are just pieces of shit. All right, okay, but like to actually see it is just like
and how it happened.
Okay, mm-hmm. And just how the whole world is interesting because it's like they're just stuck in the fucking 1950s and it's 2077. You know what I mean? Like
they did a very good job of drip feeding all that information throughout the series, the first season.
And they had to because this is like they have to
paced well.
Yeah, they have to bring in, they have to appease the fans that already know the show or already know the games. I mean, and that universe, but they also have to appease newcomers, you know, that are like don't know that much about it. And I think they nailed it.
They really did.
Like one of my favorite scenes is when it's in like one of the middle episodes and Lucy, the main character, is in a classroom setting and you see things and she sees a flag and she grabs the flag and she like, what is this? And like kind of pulls it back to see what's on the flag. And then you hear the Fallout 4 theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you start as a fan of the games, you just start like piecing things together. You're like, huh. And it's just like such a great moment.
It's also the third. It's kind of the third, like the 3 and 4 have the same similar themes, but that was definitely the Fallout 4 version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those horns. Oh. It's like, yeah, if you like Fallout, they do stuff for you.
And then just also like the goofy ass side characters that they have in,
which is
is so on par.
Exactly how the game is. All of them.
Oh my god. Got Chris Parnell in there.
How do we feel? How different would this show have been had it been a week to week?
I think it would have been better.
Water cooler show.
I think it needs. I think they needed to have it week to week. To be honest,
I agree. Yeah,
I agree. I think they should have had the first two episodes drop together, and then gone week to week. It would have been more impactful.
I agree.
Part of me wonders if Amazon didn't know how it would do.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Bethesda's a fickle thing anyway. I think they just released it all at once because I think it was originally planned to be week to week. And they're like, no, we're just doing it all at once. And we're doing it earlier than we said to.
Yeah, I know they did it earlier. I can't remember if they ever said it was going to be week to week, though.
I feel like I read that somewhere. I think they didn't want to take the chance on it being bad. So, like, here you go. Yeah. And it would not surprise me if season two is week to week.
Yeah, because I think Amazon did that with The Boys. Like, the first season. After season one. It was dropped every, you know, all the episodes dropped at once. And then they're like, oh, no, we're actually going to do it week to week. Because it's just that.
Once they had the hunger for it.
Because, like, there's so many people that, like, I would want to talk about it with.
I've been trying to have this conversation with a lot of people lately, and it's like, where are we at now in 2024? Yeah. Like, do we like an entire season of a show dropping all at once, or I feel like we're going back to the week to week stuff.
I think if it's a dramatic show like this, you know, action mm-hmm. drama, it needs to be week to week. But if it's like a comedy, just for me, you just do it all at once. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Shogun was week to week, and that was definitely a show you wanted to be week to week.
And I get why. After just finishing that, I'm like, I get that. For sure.
This is your episode alert to go watch Shogun, everybody.
Yeah. I want to go play Ghost of Tsushima again now. Like, Jesus. It's so good. The actors are amazing. I watched it in Japanese with the subtitles, and it just put me more in that atmosphere and that time period, and man, so good.
I watched I was watching it, but not by myself. Like Carlos and I have been watching it kind of like a day after each other, after the episode would drop, but we got together for the finale and we were both just like, oh.
But yeah, I recommend it. And the fact that the show has just like sparked so many people to want to play the games again, and Fallout 76 had a million people playing it.
That was what, opening week numbers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they got that high in the opening week.
No, I don't think so. And just to say again, like I know I said before, you know, we had played Fallout 76 when it first came out, and it was very rough. Very rough. My love for Fallout allowed me to keep going, you know, with it, you know, more than most people. But it is in such an amazing state now. It has its problems for sure. Like, it's got bugs and stuff, but
it's Bethesda.
It is worth your time if you like the Fallout games. Even if you don't even have to play with anybody else, like, you can just do your own thing. I do the story and things like that, and it does it tremendously well.
And then on this past Thursday, we had Fallout 4 or PS5.
Yeah.
Update.
For the most part. For most people, well, at least.
Yeah, 95% of people have it.
Yeah.
For PS5 update, it's the same game, obviously, with a new coat of paint. The new coat of paint.
Looks nice, runs
really well.
Yeah, combat is a lot smoother. There's not as many rough edges, you know, that I remember.
It's still that old engine.
Yeah.
And even with the new coat of paint, you can definitely see the cracks, I think, still, but it's not bad at all, I'd say.
Yeah, I haven't, I said it before we started recording, but the only problem I run into, and I just think this is more probably the engine and like some deep coding that they probably just can't fix with a new coat of paint. It's just like, I feel like there's a memory leak somewhere, because if I play for X amount of time, and even if I just leave it on, I'm not doing anything like crazy resource heavy, but then the game will crash. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because I've had it on.
It's gotta be a memory leak.
X amount of time. And so every once in a while, if I'm going to make dinner or something and take a break, I'm not just going to leave it on. I'm going to save it. Quit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice, and I've been jonesing to play Fallout 4 for the longest time, and I've just been waiting for the update to come. So it's such perfect timing.
Did you put it in performance mode?
No, I just played in the regular.
I've been playing on quality.
Yeah, and quality.
Yeah,
and it's running fine,
and it's been running great.
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe I need to pop it back. I mean, I've only played like the first hour or so, maybe hour and a half, but nothing really. But I put it in performance, and I thought it ran really smooth. But I tried it in quality.
I did want to play at first. I decided I was like, I'm gonna play this one in survival mode. I never played Fallout 4 in survival mode, which is like hardcore mode.
It's fun.
And I tried it for a little bit, then I kept dying, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm just gonna put it back to normal mode.
I just want to play it. Yeah,
I kind of just want to play it.
Like getting through the conquered section, like set piece section,
that's probably pretty hard.
Finishing off with the death claw. I mean, I'm not playing in survival mode. I'm just saying, like, on quality, but that final fight in the streets with the death claw and all the raiders and everything like that, like, ran in on quality mode in a power suit, power armor. Like, it ran great.
Yeah.
Okay. On quality.
Okay.
The best.
That didn't notice any dips, even with like all the laser beams flying around and stuff like that. It was perfect.
The best part for me, with everybody playing Fallout again and people having a resurgence, is the TikToks, Instagram Reels, all that stuff is great to see some of the crazy things. Because I even had a moment yesterday when I was just like, I was kind of exploring this area, and I was like, I remember this place being a little dangerous, but I don't see anything. And then I use my VATS to attack. There's just like a bloat fly or something. And I attack him. And as it shows my character attacking, a fucking bear.
Yagway.
Came out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the fuck?
All right.
So there's a new Enclave quest. Have either of you seen substantial quest?
I don't know. I only just started it today. Okay. I ran into them, and it was very difficult. My first encounter with them, I was level 22, and they were doing some damage to me. So okay. I think that's a later fight for sure. Like, they had like really high level. Like, I beat them. I beat them with some coward tactics. I'll just say that. I
mean, cheesed it, huh?
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
And one of them had a power armor that was like the Mark IV version, I'm like, okay, that's higher.
Yeah, that's new normal, for this specifically. So. There's new armors of all kinds, including power armor, new some new weapons. I only got to Diamond City, so I haven't played too far into it yet to run into them.
Yeah, Diamond City is cool. And you get run to Nick Valentine, awesome character. Very cool.
I had just stolen everything from his office before I finally started that quest, so...
Just word of warning to people, be careful with mods. If you want to play with mods,
more for PC.
It's just, they're not, some don't work well, you know, with the update. So
which is what happens every time a game gets an update. It usually breaks the mods, and then the modders have to like work on figuring out how to update it to the current patch. It's a normal thing that happens. So the fact that so many people are upset about it is mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. We had mentioned that before we recorded too. And I was like, just seeing people like, oh my God, I can't believe Bethesda did this. It's like, I understand why you're upset. I get it, because your mod won't work that you like, but this is...
You not want to capitalize on this show's normal momentum?
Yeah. It's a shame. I do feel like they probably did want to get the update out beforehand, you know, to capitalize
on... Well, I think they wanted to get it out like a year or two after the PS5 came out.
Yeah, but it's like...
this was clamoring for it.
Yeah, but this was like the perfect time for them to do it. It was a good time to do it. So, but yeah, I'm enjoying it again. Fallout 3 is a game that made me... it brought open world games to me. Like, that's the first one I remember playing, like, open world game, being like, what?
The first one that got me for Fallout was New Vegas, because I watched a buddy play it. Like, I went down to visit him when he was at college for a weekend, and we played a lot of that together. So that was cool. So Dustin, is this new update? Are you gonna beat Fallout 4?
I mean, I would like to. I'd like to try to.
See what happens.
Yeah, I mean, reinstalling it, I'd like to give it a shot. I mean, again, I think we were talking about it a little bit before even Chris, you joined, and it was like, when I reinstalled it, I PlayStation was like, hey, you've played Fallout 4 for 56 hours. So it's like, I've tried it enough that like I've gotten to some pretty important, you know, story beats, but it's like, there were just always things about it that had just rubbed me the wrong way. But I think with this, you know, new paint job and a little bit of a updated feel, yeah, I'd like to try to get through it. Plus, I'm so far now away from like Skyrim.
That's true, probably. Yeah,
things like that. Like, it just feels, it's going to feel way more fresh to me.
Well, and you enjoyed 76 for the most part.
Yeah,
we played a decent amount of that.
Yeah, once some of those updates started to come out, I enjoyed the feel more. Once there were actual NPCs you could talk to, that was nice.
Well, and the thing with that too is, and I didn't even realize this at the time, but like, that was just part of their storyline. You know, that now the NPCs are back for a reason. And I'm like, oh, okay. It wasn't just because they were lazy, which they could have just been lazy and not done it. But
they were definitely just lazy, but they had decent, they have decent writers.
Right. But I would like to try to give it a shot, get through Fallout 4, actually beat it, try out the DLCs, play those, because I've heard really good things about those as well. So
yeah, there's the Far Harbor DLC. Mm-hmm.
Far Harbor is one of the best DLCs in the entire series.
Oh, it's so good. And Nuka World, it came out when I was kind of just like burnt out on it. So like, I didn't really give it a fair shot.
Yeah.
I watched Misty play it. It's a fun time.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to, you know, going back and doing that. The Automatron.
Yeah. Automatron
seems like, I remember being okay. The vault one's stupid. It's just, you could build your own vault
it's not story content. Yeah. It's just, you can,
I'm sure there's people that love it, but it wasn't for me.
It's not content. Yeah. Of like, here's a new story.
I don't know. The building mechanic in Fallout 4 wasn't my favorite. I mean, it wasn't my favorite in Fallout 76 either, but it felt like at least in 76 they tried to improve on some things from 4.
They did.
It feels like, right?
Yeah. It's rough. It's always been rough around the edges.
Yeah.
That engine doesn't support that.
Super, like, I didn't care for it in Skyrim either, right? Like, it never really felt great. But
I mean,
that one was like a much smaller version.
Yeah, I love Fallout 4 though. So
I don't know if I'm gonna beat Fallout 4. I've infamously, it took me well over a decade to beat Skyrim for the first time. because I just like wandering around Skyrim.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing in you know, four for me, you know, like just especially when being in downtown Boston, I'm just like, I got to go here. That's where my marker is. But it's like, oh, there's a building here.
Is that like a trap door, like to a basement? No, let's see what that's. I mean, like I've played like 150, couple hundred hours in Fallout 4 and never actually beaten it. So like, it's just because I like walking around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just exploring.
I'm also trying not to use my power armor as often. I'm really trying not to.
I'm using it a lot in the beginning because you get the first one in Concord, and then I stumbled upon another one in a train car, and I'm like, all right, well, I mean, I'm just going to use this. Got to Diamond City, and I'm just leaving them in major cities, and then walking around the rest of the time. With my build, I can probably very soon be able to take a bunch of hits. So. Even without power armor.
Yeah, any other playthrough I've done of it, I've used the power armor a lot. So I'm trying not to. But I'm also, like I said before, I'm trying to replace more stealthy, where before I've been like strength melee.
Kick the door open.
And that's power armor. Yeah, that's what I'm doing this time, is doing the strength melee build instead of my normal stealthy stuff. Yeah. So. I mean, it was kind of nice to boot it up again. And hear the main menu theme. So,
it's a powerful theme.
Got that down pat. But we are at an hour.
Yeah. I think that's Tweet Corner. I tried to do a Fallout 4 theme. I don't think it worked. But we have a tweet book. Technically, we have a question from our Facebook page. So, and then we have two tweets from lovely Jeff at Ledgely at Ledgely Jeff. So, first one to start with is from Jory on Facebook. Hi, it says, end of the world, and you could take one DVD. What movie are you watching on repeat for the rest of your life? I mean, it's one DVD. Ooh. So, she says movie, but then says one DVD. It's like, you could be like first season of The Office, right? I mean,
maybe.
The season you pick.
If it has to be a movie, probably the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Okay.
All right. I'm torn between a couple.
I am too. I mean, this is a tough one. But I mean, for me, it's probably either going to be like Logan or like the Two Towers extended edition.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Multiple DVDs though.
Yo, is it? Yeah, the extended edition. Shit, I only get to watch 75% of the movie.
It's multiple Blu-rays.
Yeah, that's a big fucking. I could say like Logan. I enjoy that movie.
Logan is a solid one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it for me. I'm trying to be like, I love the first 28 Days Later.
Oh God, it's so good.
I should watch that sometime. Huh?
Oh.
I would.
Cillian Murphy is fantastic. That is a good movie.
It transcends it being a zombie movie, horror movie.
Yeah, dude.
But like, I also if that was the only movie I had, I don't know if I would want to watch that.
That's kind of where I'm at
the end of the world, because I feel like it might be too on brand. So like, I'm leaning for getting Sarah Marshall unrated.
That's pretty good.
That's all I got about London.
For the same reason that you're like, maybe I shouldn't pick that. Like, I almost said The Shining, and I was like, okay. Oh shit, if it's the end of the world, man, I don't know. That's pretty,
yeah.
You know, damn, all good though.
Yeah, for real. I'm going to go with Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Some of that comedy has not aged well, but it is a product of its time period. Not that I'm excusing it.
Yeah. And Russell Brand fucking sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that movie's funny as hell. So go with it.
All right, then we got ones from our boy Jeff Allegedly at Allegedly Jeff. First one is at CGY Podcast. Rank your top three Nickelodeon cartoons. # Tweet Corner.
Angry Beavers, Doug, then Rugrats. 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
An original Doug, not new Doug.
New Doug is not even. No. I don't have an order, probably, but yeah, Doug for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey Arnold.
Also very good.
And probably Our Real Monsters.
Also very good.
Oh. Shit. See, there's so many good ones. I'm having a hard time. Like Rugrats came to mind. Again, I don't have like an order necessarily, but Rugrats came to mind. Ah, Real Monsters came to mind. And then the Ren and Stimpy show came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But that the Ren and Stimpy show, from what I remember, I was like, I was young and I don't know how good that was. so I might replace
well,
that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure your parents Doug. Loved it.
Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah. Yeah, not really. Not really. It's a cartoon, not really a kid show.
It was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it was on Nickelodeon.
No, I know.
The criteria.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, kids. It's
not a kid. Not a
kid's kid cartoon.
Not a kid show at all.
Yeah, I think I'd do Doug instead of Ren and Stimpy because I almost said also Hey Arnold, but I think I still would go Doug.
All very good shows.
Over Hey Arnold, even. Like, yeah.
And Rocko's Modern Life. It should be an honorable mention.
For me, the honorable mention is Rocket Power.
I do like Rocket Power.
Wookity, 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 wookity.
I never really watched SpongeBob. That was a little bit after my time.
Same with me.
I'm season 1 and 2 of a SpongeBob. Okay. Everything after that is, it's some of it's still pretty good after that, but those first two seasons, like, I caught at the right time.
I'm telling you, 90s Nickelodeon, some of the best times of all time. You talking about Stick Stickley?
We love feet.
Okay. Wild and Crazy Kids. Yeah. Yeah,
Wild and Crazy Kids, I want to be on so bad. And Nick Arcade, I want to be on
Guts.
The show so fucking bad.
I want a piece of Admiral Guts. Crag.
Yeah.
Legend of the Hidden Temple. Like, all right, man.
Eureka's Hidden Castle. Anybody?
Eureka's Castle. Kablam. Oh, Kablam.
Oh, Kablam.
Ah. Oh. All right. Kablam's wild.
Kablam is wild. Kablam was
what a wild.
Wild
show.
That 90s.
Yeah.
It's just the 90s. That was a weird time.
It was the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Our last one comes again from Jeff. Actually, your podcast. What's a food you went your whole life thinking it was nasty until you tried it? Hashtag Tweet Corner.
I responded with a gif of onions because I hated onions for the longest time, and now like I'll just take a bite out of one.
I think it's mushrooms for sure.
Mushrooms really? Also, yeah, mushrooms. I was after onions for me, but I love
hated
mushrooms
forever until like 3 years ago, and then I just love them.
I was like 4 or 5 is when I really started liking mushrooms four or five years ago for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think it was something like sushi. I think like the first few times I was like, nah, I don't want raw fish or whatever. And it wasn't until I got a little older and realized that like the combination of flavors is something what you're looking forward to, not necessarily. And like the texture of the fish wouldn't bother me. Like it just, I had to get over that mental hurdle.
To tie some of these together, the episode of Duck where he goes out to eat sushi with his aunt for the first time. I did not want to try sushi for the longest time because of that episode.
Because
I was like, it's wrapped in seaweed? That sounds gross. Like, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, I know exactly what episode you're talking
and
about.
And even too. Though he's like, I liked it. Oh, that's not so bad, actually. And she's like, proud of him for trying new things. Like, nope, I didn't do that for a long time. And yeah, then it was like, sushi's fucking great.
If it wasn't for, when I was 19, I went to Toronto with friends for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And they all went to get sushi. And I was like, but I didn't want to be like, ew, gross. I wanted to like be cool. And so I love sushi. I've never had it before. And I was like, I don't want this. But I was like, I got to do it. Proud of myself because that made me love sushi.
You're like, oh my God. Eye opening.
Because I was teased in my family for just like, Chris is just going to eat chicken fingers for the rest of his life. He's never going to go past that.
Look at you now.
Now
look at you now, man.
Making mushroom Swiss burgers, eating sushi all the time. Mm-hmm.
I put anything in my mouth once now.
I like literally for that episode caused me to not want to try it. And I don't know exactly when I came around on it, but I honestly think it might have been around the time of the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Yeah.
Because if either of you,
I know of that. I've not watched it, but I know
that that documentary is fascinating. Last time I saw it, I think it was on Peacock, maybe. Fantastic film, won an Oscar, and like you see all the prep and care like sushi masters put into like their craft, mm-hmm. and it really made me respect it. So like,
made I think you look at those, it differently.
Yeah, that's when I tried it, and like, you know, even if it's just like, you know, not a crap. We don't really actually have any crappy sushi restaurants around here, really. But like, you know, I tried it, and I was like, okay, I can do this, and then mm-hmm. open up a whole thing. And then the night the world was supposed to end in 2012, I went out for sushi with my roommate, and we got, I think it was about 100 pieces of sushi.
Jesus.
And we both ate them all. We ate it all.
Yeah.
And like, our server was like, she's like, you guys realize like this is like 100 something plus pieces? And we're like, yeah, that's what we want. ate it all at the restaurant.
I know what I'm about.
And then went out drinking afterwards, and somehow I didn't get sick. Like,
that's impressive.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
That just reminds me of Parks and Rec when he orders the party platter, and he's like, you know, that's for like 10 people. And he's like, I know what I'm about, son.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what my roommate and I did. We're like, yeah, we know. Bring it, please, and some drinks. The world's ending, potentially. Like, I'm going out.
Yeah. On top. Exactly.
But that does conclude our tweet corners. Thank you guys so much for sending in your stuff. If you, dear listener, have something on your mind and you want to throw it our way for us to answer on our next episode, send it to our Facebook, send it to our Twitter at CGY Podcast. Use the hashtag tweet corner or tweet corner A if you're on Facebook sometimes. And we will answer it to the best of our ability on the next episode. And along with sending us some more questions, tell your friends, tell your family. We are on every podcast thing conceivable at this point, from Podbean to Google's podcast thing, iTunes, Spotify, you name it, we are most likely there by this point. But as always, we will end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit. And this week's comes from user, let me get to my gallery, screenshots, there it is, comes from user Shaftalope. Steve Austin, the $6 million man, can lift a car with his bionic arm that is attached at the shoulder to his flesh and bone body, but his arm doesn't rip clean off. And that's going to do it for episode 175. Come to your podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
I've been Chris.